This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Tim and Johnny. We are back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, so glad to see you back here. Finally moved. I see in the background there, you're in a new place, man.
Oh yeah, man. Glad to be here, Tim, and missed you all, but got to tune in and listen and hear some amazing things about student loan relief.
Student loan pain, you know, Allen College studentloanjustice.org. We had him on. He's been on the show a few times. Great calls last week. You know, what are we doing about student loans? We had a great caller, but before we get into that caller, John, there's an article in Business Insider. It says, meet a teacher who just got $44,000 in student debt forgiven, but is still fighting. Quote, this struggle isn't over until it's over for all 45 million Americans. Who is that person? Well, she woke up one morning, November 11th, free of a burden she'd carried for 15 years. Her remaining student loan balance of $44,000 had been forgiven. She is the associate director of the Kasdan Institute at the University of Southern California, and she is fighting for student loan justice. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Caller last week, extraordinaire student loan fighter, Lisa Ansel. How are you, Lisa?
Hello, thank you so much for the honor of being here.
Oh, honor, really. We're honored to have you here more, you know, it's better to say this. All right, Lisa, you've got so many things. We had a great pre-show talk yesterday about all the things we were going to throw out here. But tell us first, though, I mean, this part here, we're talking about, you know, $20,000 of forgiveness, $10,000 of forgiveness, or whatever the Biden administration is doing. It's stuck in the Supreme Courts. But here you are a year ago, actually 2 years ago, you were able to get $44,000 forgiven. Tell us about that. How did it happen? How did you do this? Because I know some other people out there are saying, wait, what? So Lisa Ansel, how did this happen?
Right. So I liken my story to that of a cat. And in the sense that if I was a cat, my struggles with student loans would have eaten up 8 out of my 9 lives. This was a daily struggle. I was actually eligible to receive student loan cancellation in 2017, since the program was enacted in 2007. I have been in education since 2002.
Okay, before you go any further, though, you just made a couple comments. So you were eligible program. Wait, what are you talking about? There's something that was going on that you qualified for. Tell us a little
bit
more. Right.
Okay. So yeah. I was eligible to receive public service loan forgiveness, which in theory was a program that was geared towards public servants, you know, teachers, nurses, librarians, firefighters, and so many others who put in 10 years of work in public service, which equals to 120 loan payments. And after those 10 years, public servants were in theory eligible to have the remainder of their student loan balances canceled. However, theory versus practice is much different, as millions of us have learned the hard way. So even though I was technically eligible in 2017, I was given every type of excuse in terms of why my loans were not eligible. I signed in blue ink instead of black ink. One of my I's wasn't dotted. One of my T's wasn't crossed. You know, it was almost ridiculous the amount of times I was actually denied my cancellation. And I kept going back. And every time I was incredibly, I would say, disheartened and just worn down, beaten down by the broken promises that I lived every day. And it was daily phone calls. It was holding on the phone for 4 hours a day in order to get a live person. And the right never knew what the left was doing. And it was just a daily nightmare that I had to go through. My loans were actually canceled in the first wave of PSLF cancellations. By the way, I just want to mention also that the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program had a success rate of less than 1% before President Biden started to enact some changes to the program, which led to a success rate of, at its peak, 9%.
I gotta go back because this is reminding me, because I swear I remember this, and people are saying it was the Obama administration that got forward or put forward the public student loan forgiveness. And I love how you though keep saying, you know what, cancellation forgiveness. We talked about this over a year ago. It's like, you know, forgiveness, it makes it sound like we did something wrong for taking out a student loan, but public service loan forgiveness was a program put through the Obama administration. I remember myself getting a notification and somebody telling me at the time that, hey, you should be getting your loans forgiven, Tim, because at that time, and I still do this, I was working as a public servant, working at a university. I had been there for over 10 years. And I remember, you know, kind of like going, okay, this is cool. And I filled out some paperwork and I got the notice saying, yeah, if you pay more than you're paying now a month for 10 more years, I'll get forgiveness. And I was like, okay, this is a gimmick. Forget about it. I might as well just do what I'm going to do. Is this the same program we're talking about that I lost my eagerness to keep following through and fighting like you?
Right. I mean, there's an alphabet soup of programs that, you know, the government offers, you know, IBR, you know, repay, revised pay as you earn, you know, they're all very, let's say, unsuccessful. And many, many people, you know, try to enroll into these programs, get kicked out of these programs, and wind up owing so much more than they had originally borrowed over the years. You know, if I could share one statistic regarding the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, or PSLF, this is something to point out. You know, White House statistics as of May of 2023, last month, indicate that there are over 20 million public servants employed by the U.S. government, which is 7.75% of the entire adult population, which is 258 million. To date, there have been approximately 615,000 public servants who have received PSLF. However, that only amounts to 3.07% of the total public servant population, which is eligible. So that's an abysmal statistic.
It's horrible. And I just think about this, you know, and if you're out there wondering about this, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, because we definitely want you to join the program. Johnny, is any of this ringing true to you? I mean, you know, you've been working, teaching, you know, the Utes of America.
Tim, it's eerie how much it rings true. It's always too close to home when we get to this topic. And it's near and dear to not only my heart, but my lived experience. And it's something that you know, I keep trying to navigate my way through, but it's just a hot mess. And I keep figuring out ways to, I think like so many payers across this country, or so many borrowers, right? Figure out ways to afford paying and maintain living. As you know, wages for educators are trending, even though they seem to be increasing, like they feel like they're trending downward. As cost of living skyrocketing, and so many of our teachers, so many of our lecturers, so many of our professors, so many people working in the public sector writ large, you know, we commiserate over this often, and the myth is that we're trying to not pay. And I have yet to meet a single person across the board, you know, whether it was back when I was a Detroit teacher or out here now as a professor, who isn't paying in some form, and in many cases have paid what they've borrowed back and still owe. So it's just a huge mess. And I admit, I just get frustrated with it and sort of bow out. And I have to put my energy towards teaching. And that stretches me, like so many other educators, really far and thin. I don't have time at the end of the day to keep navigating this stuff. And so I have a close ear to it. I can't thank people like Lisa enough for the work they're doing to get that message out there, but also to debunk myths and to help, you know, help push truths forward so that we're all operating from a table of access to information and ways that we can, as democratic citizens, contribute to our economy in a generative way.
Lisa, I mean, so you got me and Johnny. I'm going to throw some more in this. We've, you know, got about less than 2 minutes as we go on to break. But first spot of advice for Tim and Johnny, should we try this again?
As educators, I would say yes, you should try. However, I don't want you to go into this with the expectation that you will be successful.
Why not? Wait, it's a program that it's supposed to be there for me to be successful.
Right. That's when we look at who is profiting from the lending industry, we understand why so few people have actually made it through on the other side. You know, there are approximately 45 million federal student loan borrowers in this country. You know, and according to former federal student aid chief Wayne Johnson, who served under former President Trump, 85% of these borrowers were either not paying, which was over 50%, or they were paying, but their student loan balances were going up due to predatory interest and fees. And, you know, that's about 37 million people before the pandemic. And there's no doubt that that has increased by now.
Well, so that many people not paying. So there's a program called forgiveness. The whole idea out there, public loan forgiveness, it makes us think that something's going on out there. I think, Johnny, you were moving this too. Maybe this is the way we want to come back after the break here is to talk about this. And Lisa, you pointed it out. People making regular payments, but their balance is still increasing. Recognizing that more when we get back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded back after the break. We are taking the wool off your eyes. Public student loan forgiveness. Only 92% of those eligible, or actually 92% of those eligible, still have not taken or have not been given the cancellation that this is supposed to give them. Our guest, Lisa Ansel, she's the associate director for the Kasdan Institute at the University of Southern California, successfully got canceled the $44,000 in student loan debt that she had paid off religiously over a 15-year period, met the 10 years. You know, Lisa, Johnny, though, before the break, we started moving in this direction. And I want to talk about this, too, because sometimes, actually quite a bit, you know, we hear this when we bring up student loan forgiveness or something like this, it's automatically quickly turned into this is a liberal socialist movement. There are a bunch of freebies out there who don't want to pay back their dues. This is a giveaway. And the more I've spent time with Alan, now you, Lisa, and Johnny, the more we talk about this, I myself have always thought this, but to hear this come across now is to recognize that people who are literally paying regularly their payments and their balance is going up, to recognize that that's a predatory system and that as an American, we have a duty to fight against a predatory system that is not democratic. This isn't about Democrats, Republicans, liberals, socialists, conservatives, whatever you want. This is an American issue because this is about financial freedom. And as we talk about, we love to talk about freedom and busted pencils because we're all about this. Financial freedom sets people free to do wonderful things. What is it? How do we get people to understand this is not a bunch of college kids who want to just go to college for free? This is about ending a predatory system. Lisa, if you can give us some thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you look at the hallmarks of what a predatory lending system is, right, that is a system where the borrower has no legal protections. And, you know, student loan debt has been uniquely stripped of the constitutional right to declare bankruptcy. And along with bankruptcy, truth in lending laws, statutes of limitations, you know, this is why lenders are able to get away with such unscrupulous behavior, tacking on usurious fees and interest, selling people's loans, selling them into slabs. You know, it all comes down, so much of the origin of this crisis today comes down to the removal of bankruptcy protections. And this is such an important cause to continuously call on our elected representatives to champion for.
So just think about this, right? You know, and we'll put this, you know, statistic again for somebody, for my neighbor who's listening to this and getting really angry that we're talking about, quote, forgiving people their student loans. Remember, we're talking about real people who took out $50,000 in student loans, who paid back $60,000 in principal, whatever you want, and still owe $50,000 of the original. So think about that. This is not about people getting something for nothing. This is actually about setting people free. They've already paid. As Alan pointed out last week, this is not anything, like even if everything was stopped right now, the amount of money that people have already paid back, this is not a government handout in any way. Lisa, help us understand that a little
bit. Yeah, you know, that the sort of myth of student loan cancellation being a government handout is a myth that has been propagated by those who actually benefit from the status quo. You know, if we're looking at the banks, we're looking at lenders, we're looking at the entire cottage industry that has made an absolute fortune off of the immiseration of student loan borrowers. And if you look at the politicians who have been the most vocal and active against the concept of student loan cancellation, these are people who, this is public record, who have received, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations from the student loan industry. There is a really, there's a direct line between sort of the industry to lobbying to policy.
It drives me crazy. I know we're kind of, Evan, we have a caller on the line. Caller, let's take this call before we go to break. Who's on the line? What are we talking about?
This is Tom from L.A.
Hey, L.A. Tom, what's happening, my friend?
What's happening?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, amen. We need to get money, and we need to get money out of politics and lobbyists out of politics, and that should be our one focus, that whether you're a Republican or a Democratic person, you should all be in favor of politicians not being bought off, not being able to do stocks and on the floor and all this kind of stuff, and being lobbyists to the student or to the borrowing system and the big banks and their high percentage interest rates that they actually charge. But I think what we need to talk about is we have to fix two words. One, we have to fix the word government. And we got to fix the word back from when Ronald Reagan said it was so bad to actually good government. And we should be calling these things instead of public schools and public libraries and all of these different things. We need to get back to committee saying government libraries, government schools, because you know what? We the people are the government. And it's us collectively that are paying these salaries. That's number one. Number two, We need to start talking about the return on investment from an education. Talk like a business person. A business person, if they're worth anything, is talking about a return on investment.
Well, you Tom, know, I want to hold you over. I'll hold you over the break. It's Busted Pencils. It's L.A. Tom. It's Lisa Ansel. It is Johnny Lupinacci. Student loan forgiveness cancellation. Busted Pencils back after the break.
What if I'm writing you a wrong? What if you knew it all along? What if I figured out that I did not belong? What if it always bothered me? What if I never did believe? Would it be wrong if I decided I should leave?
Yes, it would be so wrong if you decided to leave right now. Busted Pencils. Lead-led education talk. Tim from Rise Against. We love it. A little bit of anti-flag back there before that. Busted Pencils, educated educators talking education. Our guest is Lisa Ansel talking about $44,000 in student loans that were, quote, forgiven through the PSL, Public Student Loan Forgiveness Program, but cancellation. L.A. Tom was on the line. And before we get Evan, I want to, is Tom still waiting for us there? Tom, you are back, man. Thanks for holding on. So Tom, you're telling us about making sure that we need to get money out of politics and stuff like that. Keep going, dude.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we need to start changing the word government into meaning something good. And we need to start being able to say, like, you know, there's a lot of people, even people in my family that are teachers and things like that, but I don't think they think that they're kind of working for, you know, the government. And for some reason, that's like a bad thing, and it shouldn't be. We should be looking at education, whether it's college, whether it's grade school, whatever it is, as a return on investment, as we, the people, as a collectively, as a society, can actually bring back a great ROI in business terms. And what we do. And I think that we get, you know, wrapped up, of course, in the fact that, I don't know, maybe we're afraid to call some things that are public government done, because government is we the people collectively. That's what we pay our taxes for.
I love the way you move that in that way, Tom, because I've had that conversation for a long time. You know, people came out, quote, against public schools by, you know, framing them as, quote, government schools, and that made them bad. But you point out the government is we the people. And if it's we the people, we're loving that. L.A. Tom, always thanks for calling in. We appreciate
it. Big ups, Tom.
Big ups. Check it out, though. Lisa, so we were also, before Tom called, we were talking about, you know, trying to help my neighbor who might think that this is a partisan issue. You actually had a piece most recently in the Washington Post explaining about the nonpartisan stance of this. Help, you know, what did you put in the Washington Post piece? Tell us about the nonpartisan side of student loan cancellation.
Right. I would say one of the worst tricks the corporate media has played on the American people was convincing this nation that the student loan crisis is a partisan issue. When in reality, the truth is that over half of student loan borrowers are either Republican or independent. And when we look at the sort of composition of borrowers, one out of five adult Americans hold student loan debt. And that's that number, you know, that's 45 million bearers of federal student loan debt and 10 million borrowers with private student loan debt. That's almost enough to elect a president outright. So this issue has been so erroneously politicized, when all that does, when turning student loan debt cancellation into a cultural issue as opposed to a national catastrophe that it is, it just serves to provide sort of this partisan food fight that enables the student loan industry to perpetuate itself and to justify the politicians on both sides of the aisles from doing very little to actually effectuate real change.
Mm. Johnny, I'm thinking about this, you know, because you are very strong on talking about in a democracy. It sounds to me that Lisa's talking about that a student loans is a democracy issue. How do you hear that?
Well, yeah, Tim, it comes back to, you know, I'm always pretty frustrated with the two-party system, probably since I was even old enough to know what the two-party system was. But the idea being here is that when we talk about democracy, especially when we talk about education being a matter of national security and an investment into the strength of our nation, right, into our global citizenship, really, right, is that we are only as good as the young people that we're teaching and preparing to be citizens in this world. And so education is, you know, nonpartisan. It is an investment and a matter of national security and stability for economic growth, for all kinds of things that are important to this nation and really around the world, to nations around the world. And so when I say it's an issue of democracy, come back to LA Tom. Every time Tom calls in, we love it. We love you, Tom. And he reminds us and our listeners, you know, we the people, right? We are the government. And so that, in order to really, really put that to practice, we have to prepare citizens for that responsibility, right? Democracy in action, and education is a key component to democracy in action. So when we talk about it's a matter of insurance and stability and investment into a democracy, that's not to prepare people for the Democratic Party, right? Mm-hmm. Or for the Republican Party, or even for the Independent Party. Although that probably best represents the idea that that's to prepare you to be a citizen who can consider the common good and the future and sustainability of a strong democracy or a strong country, right? Where we the people are democracy in action. Everything we do, no matter what our job is when we go to work, right? We're doing that for our neighbors, we're doing that for ourselves, we're doing that for our families, for our community, for our country. Right? It's a different way of understanding patriotism, but it's a really important one, that we are preparing young people to make decisions, right, in the best interest of the whole, the common good, right? And so I'm often, even though I land oftentimes, we talked about it on here, Tim, on the left or in kind of probably best identifying as a Democrat, right? I have dissent within the Democrat agenda, because I really want all people to be able to have access to good information, to be able to have dialogue, to be able to listen to one another, and to be able to come to the table and make decisions together in their community, so that decisions being made are those decisions that are made by the people that are impacted by them. And education is a key component in that. So that's my big thing. You know, I get on a soapbox about it. It's like, hey, how can I reclaim democracy from the Democrats who aren't always representing democracy? And then I'm not saying, hey, yo, I'm endorsing the Republican Party, right? I'm saying, like, how do we get to a place where everyone has access to information to make decisions together?
Lisa, go ahead. Yeah. You don't have to raise your hand on this show.
Perennial student too. I really agree with everything you just said, Johnny. And I just want to add, you know, the policy decisions around starving education and ratcheting up student loan debt, you know, have made the banking industry and the lenders in this country a lot of money, but they've cut America's scientific leadership in the world and stripped now four generations of the ability of starting businesses, you know, buying homes, investing, and even having families. You know, another fallacy that is important to debunk here is that student loans are a young person's issue. Mm-hmm. You know, this is such an important point, that we are now four generations in to this crisis, with the worst hit borrowers being above 50 years old. There are more distressed student borrowers over the age of 50 than under the age of 25, with the fastest growing cohort being senior citizens who are having their Social Security checks garnish. You know, the mainstream media loves to talk about how this is a young, liberal, coastal elite issue, when the reality is that borrowers over 62 years old hold much more in student loan debt than borrowers under the age of 25.
Oh, Lisa, you okay? You know, we're on Zoom. We're able to see each other. Listeners, you can't see us. I'm raising my hand because I'm like, over 50. Yep, that's me. More student loan debt than I originally paid for college. Yep, that's me. Got my ARP card in the mail. Yes, sadly, they now send you ARP cards at 56. Actually, I think they sent it to me when I was like 49 and I tried to deny it. But okay, so Lisa, you hit, you know, I want to come back and maybe because you hinted yesterday when we talked about this. My own specific issue, and I talked to you about this. So I've made my payments from 1990 through 2015, 16, something like that. Got to the point where I got so frustrated with trying to get the forgiveness. I gave in and privatized all my student loans, it got me a quote better interest rate at the time.
That's how they make money.
And now though, like, so I'm like, I, if the 20 and the 10,000 even goes through, I won't get any of that.
Right.
But I'm sitting there going like, do I have anything to say? Anybody out there who like me said, you know what, public student loan forgiveness, I need to cut my payments. I'm going to do anything I can. And now they're finding this. Am I ever going to qualify for public student loan cancellation?
Yes, you can. And you can consolidate your loans back into the federal program to become eligible for PSLF. We can definitely talk about that. And I can see if I can help you with that another time. But I do want to mention one more point as well. Sure. When we think about, you know, the corporate narrative that has dominated the mainstream media, you know, and we think about how this issue has become so unnecessarily pigeonholed as a partisan issue, you know, both sides are equally complicit in the sort of genesis and evolution of this crisis. But when we look at the Republican Party today and the rhetoric coming from, I would say mainly the main champions against student loan cancellation, you know, we see the majority of these politicians coming from the South. And it's interesting to note that the Southern states are actually the worst hit states in the country when it comes to student loan debt versus state budget. You know, just one example I'll give you is state of Texas. You know, the state budget of Texas, you know, is almost $125 billion. The people of Texas owe $140 billion, you know, making Texas one of many states that is actually underwater in student loan debt. Mm. Yet we hear, you know, politicians like, you know, Ted Cruz, you know, railing against the concept of cancellation when the people of Texas, and again, Texas is just one example, Georgia is another one, North Carolina is amongst the worst. When the people of those states owe collectively more than the state's entire state budgets, we know that we're looking at a failed system.
We're looking at an incredibly failed system. I know we have Chris on the line from Janesville. And Chris, I'm going to hold you over after the break. We're coming up on the end of our time here with Lisa. Lisa Ansel, you know, she's the associate director of the Kasdan Institute at the University of Southern California. She is a student loan justice warrior out there, $44 million. Lisa, if people are looking for more information, where should they go to find you? Where are your pieces? We said Washington Post. This is your time here to say, come find me.
Sure. I would definitely say to please join Student Loan Justice. Please get involved. We have state chapters. Every state has a chapter leader. And we really try to encourage our members to contact their politicians, their senators, their state representatives, and try to schedule meetings to actually bring up this topic, you know, to make it a point to make their voices heard in terms of how bankruptcy restoration is so vitally important to getting to the crux of this crisis. We need active members. We don't need passive members. We need people who are going to give of themselves, give of their time, and really make their voices heard on a local and national level.
Lisa Ansel, she is our awesome student loan justice warrior. We appreciate your time. Chris from Janesville, we're going to get you back on the line when we come back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded student loan cancellation. It's not a partisan issue. It's your neighbor's issue. Busted Pencils, back in a break.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one. They're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses are waiting to
be... Gotta love that cut in there. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Little boxes. One of the things we're talking about was student loan cancellation and the student loan burden and everything that's out there with this is, in fact, you know, people can't afford houses, you know, so that's out there. I know we have, I think we have Chris on the line, Chris from Janesville. Chris, I'm sorry we didn't get you in the last segment. Chris, what's going on?
That's okay. I love you guys' show. I love the whole everything you're talking about. I just what concerns me is when we talk about the student forgiveness loan that everybody has such a fixed mindset about it, and we hear these people, well, no, we can't do anything about it. Well, yes, we can. We have to have a open mindset or a growth mindset about it. Just so that, hey, look. We can do something about it. If there's 45 million of us out there that have these loans, if we all speak up, like, somebody has to listen, right?
Well, it's like, I mean, Chris, like Lisa's 45 million. That's, you know, that's enough. Hey, that's enough to swing any election way above and beyond. So Chris, I think you're right.
Seriously.
You know, think about that. I mean, there are, you want to talk about a powerful voting block, 45 million student loan borrowers out there, Chris. So I don't know, Chris, what do you think? Can we get them all moving in the right direction?
I think if we open up our mindset and we turn to a growth mindset, we can all do it. I can guarantee you that, the doctor that my wife has, we paid for easily already, and we're still paying on it.
Well, and that's the issue there, Chris, and we really appreciate your call. We really appreciate that you love the show. Keep listening and keep telling other people about it, Chris from Janesville. But, Johnny, you know, thinking about this and what Lisa talked about, we heard it from Alan, and I got to keep coming back to this because to make it a nonpartisan issue, one of the most compelling statistics is to point out to people the reality of saying, I've already paid back what I have taken out. I've paid back more than I've taken out, and yet I still owe more than my original student loan. To recognize that fact, that people owe more money, they've paid back their principal plus more, and they still owe more than their original, to recognize this isn't partisan. This is about a predatory system that was set up. And I'll go back to L.A., Tom. An education is an investment in the future of America. However, that investment that some of us tried to use the student loan to do, to invest in ourselves, we're now stuck. It didn't create the growth of, in monetary acceleration that should have came with the education because we're trapped in a predatory system. We can't buy a house. We can't buy a car. We can't participate in the American dream, not because we don't want to pay back what we borrowed. We do. And in fact, all of us have paid back more than what we borrowed. This is the issue at hand here. When people are paying more than they borrowed and they're still owing more than they borrowed, this is a problem, Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, yeah, man, I can't agree with you more, Tim. And thanks, Chris, for calling in. And I mean, this is a great conversation tonight. I think it speaks to, you know, a lived experience so many of our listeners have. Obviously, we all do. If you're affiliated with education in some capacity, this is a major issue. It's among a few others that we talk about on the show, but you know, it's out there. It's the backdrop to, you know, retaining good teachers, to recruiting young people, not even young, but new candidates into teaching. How can we support that? You need to have a strong education system. It's not free. It costs money, but we can be creative. And like Chris said, we can have, you know, a growth mindset. We can be open about there are creative ways that we make this happen. And it doesn't come at the taxpayer's expense as it's often, you know, purported out there in the media in different ways.
I think we got another caller. Yeah, another caller. Hey, Mark from the SAC. Mark, you're on Busted Pencils. Oh. Mark, what's happening?
Sacramento, where you at?
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks a lot, guys. And I appreciate what you're saying here. That what I get bemused by, is the number of people that are complaining about the student loan forgiveness thing that actually took out PPE loans and got those forgiven, like our esteemed head of our Wisconsin legislator, Robin Voss, who I think they got over $200,000 forgiven for him. Coming from the same party here in Wisconsin that wants to get rid of the Wisconsin ideal with the education system is for producing citizens and not just little cogs to as workers rather than productive citizens who are able to engage in our democracy as informed citizens and as active voters.
You know, Mark, I mean, you bring this up and I really appreciate the call here. The idea too, and Johnny, I'm going to take a stand here in the last, you know, like minute as we're coming into the end of the show. I don't have any problem with the people who got PPP loans and their forgiveness. It was a national crisis, an international pandemic. The financial reality of our future was at stake. These are the things we did to keep things going, to keep people intact, to keep people from falling into a debt that they could never repay. So paying back PPP loans during the pandemic, why not? Absolutely. The issue here then is to say with student loan forgiveness or student loan cancellation, this is also a freedom issue here. And if you want to set people free, then we move them out of the burden of debt and they are contributing members of society. They put back more than they could ever give to a predatory system. People, if you want your money from student loan borrowers, cancel their debts and they're going to put way more money back into the economy and you're going to benefit. You will see the benefits of student loan cancellation when we move it in that direction. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded, and we will see you next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
We are Busted!